This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I am Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And I am flying this like the space shuttle. The space shuttle doesn't fly anymore, does it, Mark?
I don't know. Did they retire all of them? I think they did.
X is what sends it up. No wonder we were experiencing some of the turbulence on the technical side here. I need to upgrade my space driver's license here. But none of you have to worry about that because we have a great hour in front of you, something that's going to elucidate, illuminate, and educate our audience about things that they don't get anywhere else except here on Reins and Edge in some form of agreement or disagreement. But Mark, how are you feeling these days?
As far as, like, the economy goes?
I want to know how. You know, I care about you, Mark. I want to know how you're feeling. You got a good sense of being, well-being? Wow.
I think that I exist in a world that is different than the average person. I travel a great deal. You know, my business is largely insulated. You know, yeah, I'm as far as I go, I'm not a good person to ask about the economy.
I see what writes the material world on that.
Yeah.
And you're isolated in your material world. But I will tell the audience, you have existed in your own world for the decades that I have known you.
Agreed.
But not always in the best material world. Nor I, for that matter. But right now, whether you feel it or not, whether you feel that sense of well-being out there in the United States of America and the listening audience in general, any place that the economy touches you, whether you want to admit it or not, it's getting better. I am here to tell you it's getting better. Just this week.
Are they green shoots, Henry?
I don't know, but if there's too many, I'll go get the weed eater. But
Don't worry, you won't have to.
Green shoots, green sheets, green whatever. But I do know this. I do know that there was a CPI, Consumer Price Index, report this week, and it was exceeded the positive expectations that we are in a situation where from June to July, the CPI went up 0.2-tenths of a month for the month. That's 0.2%. The prices in the consumer price index rose that much from June to July. So if we were to project that out 12 months, that would be 2.4%, getting very close to what the Federal Reserve has as their 2% inflation target, which is, without going into the details of how they decide that, what we should all know is just like Rice Krispies or Cheerios is good for you and good for your indigestion or digestion or whatever, but it's getting very close to what they want. So that means it's getting very close to maybe not raising interest rates anymore, maybe not causing mortgages to go up, maybe getting close to lowering interest rates and making things more affordable. If you look in the rearview mirror, that means how the aggregate of the monthly increases were. We're looking at 3.2% inflation, which is a heck of a lot better than the 9% or so that it was several months ago when we were looking at that. And now, I don't know about green shoots, but it's sunshine and rainbows all at once from my point of view.
So are we in a recession?
No.
Okay.
No, we aren't even. Some people are, you know, interesting thing about if anyone were to watch business television like CNBC and you're listening to the experts, those experts don't get to say what they think. It's much like watching, you know, the White House press secretary or something like that. Mm. they say what they're supposed to say. So when you see, unless they actually own the company, they're going to say what they've been told to say. So if for the last 6 months, the investment advisor has been told, we see a recession on the horizon. And even if they get the good news that I am here to bring you, the good news, they will say, well, it's always a possibility that we won't have a recession, but right now we still see a recession in the sometime in the future there. They'll hedge it a little bit. And if it, whatever it is, they, oh, you should be in cyclical stocks. Oh, you should be in tech stocks. Nothing changes until the people that give them their direction changes their opinion. So that was just a little digression there. Never.
I agree.
Count your own thoughts on things.
As far as my thoughts on whether we're a recession?
Anyone should, to thine own self be true, and if you're true to yourself, be true to some of your thoughts and ideas and perceptions about the way the world is.
Well, I like the definition of a recession is when the economy's down, it's a recession. When the economy's down and you don't have a job, it's a depression. And it just kind of goes to show that all that matters is what's going on for you specifically. I would say that from what I can tell, it's not a recession. There's too many people traveling. There's too many people doing things. And from what I can tell, the economy is growing. Now, how could it not grow after it was shoved into the trunk of a car for 2 years? Of course, it has to get out and grow. But, by and large, no, I would say we're not in a recession.
If we go by the data, and the data actually has, even when we were shoved in the trunk of the car, screaming to be let out, telling the world that we are gasping for air and we suffer from claustrophobia, we were still growing. Maybe that's why I felt so tight in that trunk. But in the more recent data points, things, like I said, sunshine and rainbows across the sky. And you don't see that much often. The gross domestic product reported in the second quarter showed an annualized growth of 2.4%. Isn't that an interesting coincidence that the rate of growth is the same as the inflation? But we have even better news than that. The rate of growth for the gross domestic product was higher than expected, and economist analyst Stephen Ratner noted that as the second quarter, the U.S. economy is over 6% larger than it was before COVID after adjusting for inflation. So looking beyond the quarter, looking past backwards for the last 2 years or so, whatever your demarcation is for the beginning of COVID, we are 6% bigger than that plus the amount of inflation. So 6% plus the amount of inflation is a bigger number than 6%. I'm on the limb and say that. Consumer spending and business investment is up 7.7%. In fact, for those of you old enough to remember the Great Recession of 2008-09 and into the recovery of 2011, we are coming out of the recovery growing at a rate almost nine times greater than we did out of the last economic crisis, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I would say that's a good thing. I certainly don't want to see bad things happen for people's families. I would say that there are people that would like to see the whatever growth there is in the economy hold off until after the results are counted for the 2024 election.
Say that again, please.
There are people who would like to see whatever benefits there are of the new, better economy, the growing economy, held off. Let's just not report these until after November 2024.
Well, who would want that?
People who want to win, because as the Clintons said long ago, I think it still holds true, it's the economy, stupid. And if gas prices are high, if people are having trouble making ends meet, they're going to vote for whomever is not in office at the time.
Well, I think if we look at projections, let me preface this. I know that the president whoever the president is, whether it was George H.W. Bush when Clinton was running against him, or Ronald Reagan when he was running against Jimmy Carter, or we can go back through the list quite a ways. People pin the responsibility on the president of the United States. And really, in an economy as big and sophisticated as ours, I think the president as an individual has very little effect on making it succeed. The president as an individual can have a much greater effect on screwing it up.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So
there was some analogy that was given at one point that I really like, is it's very much like congratulating the bull rider on the performance of the bull. It's, you know, the bull rider.
Think about that. Wait a minute now. The bull at the rodeo, the bull rider, where it's like 6 or 8 seconds is a heck of a ride. Heck of a
8 seconds is the one that you're hoping to get to.
8 seconds. And you're congratulating
the bull rider.
But it's really
on the performance of the bull.
Okay.
So, really, what's the bull rider got to do with the bull? The bull rider's just hanging on and hoping for the best. You know, any bull rider will tell you that every ride is different. And all they're doing is trying to, you know, do what they do, perform, look like they're having a great time there at the top of the bull. And everything else is just showmanship.
How many of the bull riders have you talked to?
I don't know. Seems like it's what they'd say. I did, however, I was worked for 106.5 CTQ in Bradenton, Florida, and a DJ of ours.
Country Western Station, wasn't it?
Country Western Station. A DJ of ours was asked to be, to ride a bull, and she wore one of the protective vests that, you know, one wears, and a helmet and the whole thing. And it's a good thing, because the bull kicked her off and stepped on her.
And
so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a certified bull rider, don't do that.
Was she hurting afterwards?
Yes, she was hurting.
Was it permanent hurting or just did it eventually pass?
She was young, and I don't recall anyone saying anything really negative happened, but I sure worried. I still think about it.
But did you see her months later?
Yeah, I think so. I had memory problems from COVID. Some things I just don't remember, Henry.
Well, at least you're not remembering because of trauma from it all. I see you're making me digress again.
Yeah, I do that.
I'm out there with my goal in sight, and then you pull me back into a digression. Have you ever seen the beginning of a bull riding event? When they let the bulls out at the very beginning.
Yes. Yep.
And the bulls know they're the star. And they prance and show off for the crowd. They know that they're being featured right then. You
the bulls that are loved the most are the ones that prance the most, yes.
Well, they introduce the bulls and they come out and they do their little circle. And if the bull wasn't doing that to show off, why is it doing that?
It certainly seems like they are.
Yeah. How can you be the bull of the woods if you don't want to show off? Old Dusty Road fans would know what I was talking about there.
All right.
So I think we were talking about data points that were good, which would have been recent data or historical data. But you brought up the fact that what's it going to be in 2024 when people are voting, and how are they going to take it? Well, we could go off on another tangent about where inflation, where the price of gas is, and where the price of the things people buy the most are, how that makes them feel. But as far as the economy is looking good according to people and financial experts. One such would be the Morgan Stanley, the global financial services company. They released a statement about last Friday, and they said that this is where they credit Biden's policies. And I would say, as a parenthesis to that, what they're calling Biden's policies should be actually termed as the bipartisan bills that he's managed to shepherd through to where he got to sign them into law. Although I think as far as Congress, Biden is a more hands-on negotiator and ego stroker than Obama or George Bush were with the personalities in Congress. Because Biden came from there. And he knows how to stroke an ego. Anyway, to cajole a favor, to horse trade, to look the bull in the rear and face the situation. So, those things that Morgan Stanley's chief economist, Ellen Zettner, was writing about was the bipartisan infrastructure law, the Inflation Reduction Act. I know these are euphemisms. We don't have to accept them as the actual description of what happens. The CHIPS and Science Act, and even some of the last of the COVID stimulus bill that came in early in the Biden administration, which I think was primarily Democrats pushing that. The manufacturing construction held prior to these laws, is, say during the 2010s, the manufacturing construction in the U.S. was $50 to $80 billion a year. It's now at $189 billion. So even with 10% inflation, that's still a big number, big increase. In half of the U.S. states, job creation is strong and unemployment is at or near 50-year lows, lowering inflation rates, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, is leading consumer confidence to be its highest level in 2 years. One thing that favors President Biden, and he is a little more hands-on on this, is union contract negotiation. You may remember that we had a near rail strike, I think it was about 6 months ago. And one of the unions, they were looking for sick time, I believe. And Biden convinced the unions, and one in particular union, there's several rail unions, so I don't know which one to single out, almost held everything up based on that. But he said, we're going to work on this. We're going to see what we can do for you. You got to have some faith. Well, it turns out that just recently announced that sick leave is now part of the benefits package for the rail workers. So they got a very substantial increase. I think it was even retroactive on how they were received.
And now the Democrats have often been the partners of labor, right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying where the direction of different things are going. You know, it's one thing for the Fed to want to slow the economy down. It's another thing when the Fed wants unemployment to go up and wages to go down, which is, if you read some of their Fed speak, is what they want. What we want as a general in this country is inflation to come down and wages to go up. And in the Teamster union agreement that was just reached, you know, there was a near strike on the United Parcel Service. All 340,000 workers participated in this new 5-year agreement, and including those for part-time employees that got substantial raises. And now a UPS driver, his income, but that's sexist. His or her income is now at the upper level, $170,000 a year. And lower level is a little bit below $150,000. That's a darn good income.
Nice numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I've seen a couple of the ones, you know, they have gotten on a more strict schedule. They were always on such a super strict schedule. But now with GPS and everything else, they're being watched so much. One of the new contracts is that they've got a a phase-in air conditioning in the trucks. You know, because they still don't have air conditioning in those trucks they drive around.
And that's hard to believe.
Yes, there's a couple drivers, one in particular, that I would see every afternoon here in our neighborhood. We have a closed community, so I would see the same one circling around to the different homes. I really thought, he was probably only in the late 30s, that he was going to have a heart attack in front of me sometimes. But I digress again. I do that a lot. Let's see. Also, individuals filed 2.7 million applications to start a business between January and June of this year. That's a 5% increase over last year. People
want that's probably all those businesses that went under during COVID.
Yeah. But anyway, I could go on about this and some of the other details of this, but in general, and this is actually going to lead us to something else in our next segment, is the reindustrialization of the United States of America. You know, we ship the jobs overseas. The giant sucking sound Ross Perot talked about 30 years ago of jobs going to Mexico. America, it's morning in America again, Mark. I'm pulling out all the old euphemisms.
I like the idea that manufacturing is returning to the United States. It sounds like a great thing to me. I wonder how much this is all orchestrated, right? Like, you know, it's clearly manufacturing would be stronger in the United States had it never been eviscerated.
Right. It's almost like the deindustrialization of America to the lowest labor costs and the wealth it created for the people that owned the assets that were benefiting from that was by design. And now as their influence wanes in the places where the low income has now become a higher income, it's time to reindustrialize America.
And I'd also say that
for the people at the top.
I'm all for skilled employees having a say at where they work. You know, I have some real problems with labor unions and their collusion with governments, but I have no problem with employees telling their bosses how they want to sell their labor and what's the best thing to do with any given business, maybe the business they've dedicated decades to. And when you just go ahead and pick that business up and move it halfway around the world, then that person becomes far less influential. He's not going to get his influence back ever.
Well, good point.
Not at that.
If we reindustrialize America, what does that mean for China? We are going to find out on the other side of these very important messages. You're listening to Grains and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Hawaiian officials expect the death toll to keep rising as rescue efforts continue in Maui, where the resort town of Lahaina has been nearly destroyed by a brush fire. Lahaina resident Keith Hunter still can't believe what happened.
I've never seen something ravage so fast.
Governor Josh Green says the fire has left thousands homeless and destroyed up to 1,000 buildings. Officials say search and rescue teams are using cadaver dogs as they comb through the ruins. Archaeologists say they've uncovered an ancient village in Mexico City.
They discovered the bodies of a child and two adults, along with a collection of ceramics, according to Mexico's National Institute of History and Anthropology. Researchers say it must have been an important site between 250 AD and 1000 AD. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And we are taking you around the world today. We just told you how great the U.S. economy is looking, the prospects for it, whether you agree or not. That's what the data is telling us right now. Things can change, but that's the way it is at the moment. So, how is the reindustrialization of America, our Western allies in Europe, in the U.K., in the Pacific Rim, like Japan, in our up-and-coming junior partner that's a huge partner, India, some of those places.
Aren't they one of the founders of BRICS, trying to undermine U.S. superiority?
Well, they're also...
Why don't they get in line?
They are also a charter member of the Quad. That's our group. That's, I believe it's Japan and Europe and the U.S. and India. And, of course, U.K. is part of Europe. And well, actually, U.K. is part of the English-speaking Five Eyes countries that, you know, the equal partners, but some are more equal than others. And
well, I mean, how is New Zealand going to be equal to the United States? You know, like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, they get to come along for the ride.
Yeah.
It's better to be in the car than to be in the Volkswagen running behind you.
I support these trade organizations if they are constructed in such a fashion that it looks that it's fair trade. And in my opinion, you don't need a phone book worth of documents.
What?
In order to a phone book.
Phone book.
Fine. You don't need an encyclopedia's worth. Never mind.
An encyclopedia.
You don't need a stack of documents as high as your hip in order to create fair trade.
There you go. All right.
But I can tell you the dairy farmers in the United States would disagree with me. dairy farmers in Canada can produce, things, just produce dairy products at a far lower rate than they can in the U.S. And dairy farmers in the United States feel like they need the protection of NAFTA in order to compete. Sugar farmers too.
The reworked NAFTA that President Trump renegotiated, or has that changed anything?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm not in these marginal areas where things would be either improved or vice versa. I suspect NAFTA probably needed a workaround, no matter where you, or excuse me, a rework, no matter what your, you know, what industry you're in.
After 20 years, there's got to be some things that have changed since the mid 90s, like internet, smartphones, private space companies, a few things.
Things have changed.
Yes. And the growth of the Chinese economy has changed a lot of things, too.
Yeah. And I think that we've seen at this point, we've seen the rise and the fall of the Chinese economy. It's, they're likely the economy that managed to pull the whole world out of the 2008 to 2011 recession time frame thing going on there. And without them, we would have been in a true sort of depression. But now, with their autocratic COVID policies, they seem to have made themselves far less meaningful in the world stage.
Well, you are correct in that their COVID policies hampered their economic recovery out of COVID and has hampered their economy in general now. But I would submit to you that what started under President Trump, and I would also submit to you, is being executed even more efficiently under the Biden administration, is the
reinvestment. Well, it looks like we're going to get a choice between those two coming on here next year. So,
yeah. Back to the future. All right. So, anyway, I submit to you that the reindustrialization of America and its Western allies and Pacific allies is well underway. In fact, this has been a goal for, if we use the Trump election as a marker, we would say since 2017, so for 6 years, I would also, as we get deeper in the discussion, talk about some of the thought leaders, if you will, that were saying things prior to this, prior to that point. But from a government standpoint, as opposed to the George W. Bush administration, you really didn't hear that in his administration about pulling out of the WTO. And even in the Obama administration, you had the agreement for and the Southeast Asian trade and the Asian trade agreement, and I apologize for the name of it is escaping me right now.
Pacific Rim something?
We'll come back to that. But it was, President Trump said he was going to pull the U.S. out of it. He did. I don't think it worked the way he thought it was going to work. And I don't think it would have been the negative that we thought it was. But I thought that was one of the good things that I was hearing out of President Trump at the time that I heard it. But, do you want to be right or do you want to be consistent? I think I was wrong about that, and that would be inconsistent with my point of view now. So let's go back to China. If we've been successful in not only reindustrializing, but reorienting the supply chain. So China controls so much of the what the world's economy needs, whether it's precious metals, where it's rare earth minerals, whether it's just the manufacturing goods, etc. It's not like we can do without them.
Well, I don't think the world can. I don't think China's going anywhere. China is far greater than it was, say, in my youth, as far as an economy goes. But I mean, the fears of China from 3-5 years ago seem to have evaporated.
Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay.
If you're talking about the general public, I might agree with that.
But the public still has the fears? Is that what you're claiming?
The Cold War, the movement to a stronger Cold War against China, that drumbeat, I guess was the term I was looking for, is getting stronger.
Sure. Yep.
But let's find out what's going on in China. Now, let's look at...
Before we go any further, I do want to say this, though. China has such a dramatic demographic problem because of its one-child policy that went on for decades too long, that there's almost nothing they can do to move into sort of normal Western standards for all of their citizens. The lives that we live in America just don't compare to the lives in China. You know, middle class and lower middle class and lower class in China, things are entirely different.
Well, you know what other industrialized countries are in the same boat? Let me just...
Demographic problems? All of them.
Yes. Japan, Korea, Germany, all of the European countries, the UK, the U.S. is almost in that problem, but the U.S. has the ability to, if they wanted to do it, if we want to do it, if we can get over the demagoguery on it with immigration, we could overcome that.
Well, that's right where I go on this.
But
the United States enjoys a status in the world where we can turn around any demographic problem that we have in a matter of a couple of years simply by allowing more people in. And I want to just be clear, the United States should have let every high earner in the planet come here and work. And to not do so is ridiculous. However, you can't just have high earners. That there has to be somebody out there to populate somebody has to pick the fruit. Somebody has to mow the grass. Somebody has to, work the drive up window. And it's been different groups throughout the years, almost always young people, throughout the years, and we need to let those groups in. You can't be scared of these things going on. From what best I can tell, immigrants and less so the children of immigrants, but immigrants have not been a real problem as far as crime goes. This is one of the demagogueries that goes in. The Republican talk show hosts find some immigrant that's committed a crime. They make a big deal about it. They've done something terrible, and they have done something terrible. But when you let millions of people in, somebody's going to do something bad. I'd be happy to say I'm happy to trade all of the U.S. criminals for hardworking people in third world countries.
Well, there is one industrialized partner of the United States and its allies that has the labor force to challenge China, and that is India.
Yeah.
Which we are drawing closer to, also geographically with the Indian Ocean and the South China Sea. There's a whole lot of stuff going on there. We are going to find out that the Hindu nationalism that's in India is something that we're not going to be able to control, and so we have to hope for the best on that. But in courtesy, speaking of India, courtesy of WION in India, here's something that helps get us on the page of China, what's happening with their exports. Because remember, if we're reindustrializing and reorienting the supply chain, has it started to affect China yet? We'll let them tell us.
China's exports in December fell at their fastest pace since 2020. This is because of a drop in global demand and after the zero COVID policy hit the economic activity in China. According to official data, exports fell 9.9% year-on-year to $30.6 billion, and this is the second consecutive month of decline. Exports are an important part of China's economy since 2020, when the global shutdown led to strong demand for Chinese goods, such as medical products. And then as the rest of the world reopened, the world's second largest economy is still reeling from the effects of years of its zero COVID policy, which hammered businesses and supply chains and dampened consumption. China began lifting most of the hardline measures after anti-policy protests across the country. The uncertainties linked to COVID and the economic slowdown in China are having an impact on the need for foreign products. Imports were down again in December, sinking 7.5%. Both import and exports dropped much more than forecast in a survey of economics by Bloomberg. China's trade in December nevertheless reached $78 billion, but it's still well below July's record, $101.2 billion. China is set to unveil its 2022 economic growth figure. The previous year, gross domestic product grew more than 8%.
So if you listen to the early part of that, when they said that China's exports had fallen by, I think they said 9%, but the, yeah, to 10%.
9.9%.
Yeah. But
in 1 month.
Right.
Is that what they said?
Well, that was the July year over year. So July of right. this year compared to July of the previous year. So actually that was, it was higher when they were having the most problems with their opening of the country with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They had higher exports. It's now that they've opened up the country, exports have fallen. But there's even a more stark number to me on this. And this comes from, I believe Reuters is the source for this. China's exports to the U.S. July, so we're talking for the whole world, 10%. Exports to the U.S. plunged by 23.1%. And to the European Union, 20.6%. So however much exports are falling to the rest of the world, to the U.S. and Europe, they're falling twice as fast.
And those are the people that will pay the highest prices, that can pay the highest prices. My presumption would be is that these are the richest economies, that they're seeing breathtaking drops, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28% drops to these different mature economies, which presumably, since they're only seeing 10% drops in exports, means that they're exporting them to less
Africa, South America.
Yeah.
And it's not Southeast Asia, because I'm looking at that number too, to the Southeast Asian nations, which would be Vietnam in particular, who is a benefiting of industrialization with factories moving out of China into Vietnam. But Southeast Asia, and you know, that would be Thailand, Myanmar.
All of China's neighbors who aren't as happy as they could be.
And are tightly entwined with us. The Philippines even are considered in this, I believe, although they're not all that south. They're on the Pacific Rim. 21.4% falling there. So we have quite the change in the dynamic there. But what about oil? I mean, we still have, that's a big part of the Chinese economy. Well, China imports from Russia, which primarily are going to be oil and commodities, you know, from the eastern part of Russia, things besides oil, different minerals and metals, things like that. They fell 8.1%. So there's a slowdown in the Chinese economy. Russia, we can go all the whole dynamic of Ukraine and things like that, but Russia is suffering from this. So if you're an ally of China, you're getting some of the blowback too. Anyway, Chinese imports of crude oil dropped 20% in July.
Exports
tells a lot of deindustrialization right there.
It does. I'm shocked by these numbers. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
One more. I'm not to overwhelm with numbers, but we're going to talk about Biden's executive order in a second. Integrated circuits, you know, semiconductors in an integrated circuit fell by 17%. That is a key commodity that's needed in industrial production now.
So, hold on. These integrated circuits are being imported into China. Is that right?
The imports into China fell by 17%.
Right. I mean, you know, it's long been Taiwan, China's, you know, sworn enemy, if they'll say the name at all, is where so many of the chips are being made. So I wonder where are those chips being sent if they're not being sent to China, would be my question.
Well, we have growth in the U.S., but we also have and in the European countries are starting to recover now more. They're not that they were much of a recession, just a little slowdown. But I'm looking to see what they are exporting these days in China. And it's not what you're, other than the first item, it's not really what you want to put on your wish list for your growing economy. They're exporting cars. That's going up. You know, they got a lot of electric cars over there. Refined oil and bags is a big increase in the Chinese export.
Refined oil in bags.
I think that's really two things.
Okay.
Refined oil and bags.
And bags.
People need to learn to proofread in math these days.
They're all written by bots and AI.
Right. It's cars, comma, refined oil and bags, comma, suitcases and similar receptacles. And I would suggest that it was supposed to be cars, comma, refined oil, comma, bags, suitcases and similar receptacles.
Okay.
So
I'm willing to accept your edit.
Suitcases are a growth industry in China.
Well, they're shipping them out because people are traveling more. I wouldn't doubt for a second that the suitcase industry is seeing a huge boon.
We've got a lot of stuff. We've covered a lot of ground here, and there really is a strategy to all this. And I want to go back 5 years to Steve Bannon was one of the key advisors to President Trump. In a lot of ways, he is...
Until he got on the outs for some reason.
Well, there was that book that came out. There's been a lot of books that came out about the Trump administration. But one came out in 2018. President Trump gave interviews for it. Bannon gave interviews for it. And as bright and as articulate as Steve Bannon is, he really likes to hear his own voice.
Mm, yeah.
He likes to be the smartest man in the room. Or woman.
I know the feeling.
Yes. Well, don't we all? But he had an interview in 2018. This is after he gracefully left the White House, after his comments in that book were made public. Uh-huh. And he didn't really disrespect President Trump, but he might have disrespected some of his coworkers in the White House and created a little, a little awkwardness in the work environment. But anyway, Michelle Russo Cabrera, who was a longtime CNBC reporter and really has her handle on the foreign affairs, economic power kind of point of view, she asked them what would success in what they were then quaintly calling the trade war with China. So this is 2018, but it really foreshadows a lot of stuff here. Steve Bannon, Michelle Caruso Cabrera, courtesy of CNBC. And let's get to about a minute here.
How it ends is in victory. Donald Trump is not going to back off this. The Chinese are going to blink. Right now,
what is victory?
Victory is when they give us full access to their markets. Victory is when they stop. Remember, the warlordism in China right now, and Xi is under, I think, tremendous pressure, is the state-owned industries. Remember, China, Made in China 2025, they told us it was to leapfrog us and to converge on advanced chip design, robotics, and artificial intelligence to converge eventually with genetics, to converge on advanced manufacturing. What the reality is we saw in GTE is to get off the West supply chain for...
ZTE.
Yeah. ZTE was to get off the West supply chain for components. I think the number one thing you're going to see out of the trade war is the reorientation of the complete supply chain of Japan, Western Europe, and the United States and Southeast Asia, that 800 million people, even before you get to India, okay, around the freedom-loving countries. I think the regime in China is in deep trouble. Remember, this is different than the Chinese people. The Chinese people are some of the hardest working and best people in the world. It's this regime.
Okay, so he had to throw the thing in there about how great the Chinese people are. I think there was a little PR work there at the end. But that term, if you weren't aware of it, China 2025, that's when they had targeted to be equal with the United States and its allies in artificial intelligence technology, in chip-making technology, in blockchain, for that matter, probably biopharmaceuticals and genetic engineering technology, quantum computing, all of those things. Now, that term, China 2025, that was over 10 years in advance that they came up with that initiative. So in 2010 to 2015, China was getting ready to target that 10-year mark out of 2025. Well, we had COVID in the middle there. That had a little effect on that timeline. And now we've got the quaint trade war that it was called in the early Trump administration. And now we have an economic cold war or rivalry, if you will, if you want to be more polite about it, under the Biden administration. So I think at the very least we can say, and we'll have to continue this on the other side, at the very least we can say that the 2025 deadline that the Chinese Communist Party put on themselves is getting a little bit harder to make now. Mark, we'll come back with your thoughts on that. Listen to these important messages. You're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at PestWorld.org.